the word of God. I mean, it says his ministers are a flaming fire. That's what the scripture says. You know, so today we're going to look at Revelation chapter 4, as you already know. And this thing's a little tall. It makes me feel a little short. Just a minute. There, I just got taller. Okay. So Psalm 24 and verse 10 says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord is his name. He is the King of glory." And so this whole idea of glory is kind of interesting because we're going to look at three kinds of glory today. The glory of heaven, because as we look in this chapter 4 of Revelation, we find some incredible scenes there. I mean, when you close your eyes and listen to that chapter, or you read it and you actively try to see what the Apostle John is writing, it's incredible. It's better than the movie Avatar, okay? I mean, it is phenomenal what's going on there. Now, God gives different views. The book of Revelation switches from what is happening in heaven to what is happening on earth. Now, the first three chapters of Revelation are specific words to churches. It's an earthly situation. God actually looks at the topography of the land. He comments on that. He talks about the industry going on in those churches. You know, some made garments of white, some made eye salve, and he talks to them about those very issues right where they live. So God is a personal God. But then in Revelation chapter 4, it switches. And God takes John to heaven and shows him this incredible scene. Others have seen things in heaven as well. The Apostle Paul saw things that were unspeakable. So let's take a look. This chapter begins with a new phrase in the book of Revelation where he begins talking about things in heaven. All right. So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 4, and I'll start reading. And I'll tell you what, why don't you close your eyes this morning, okay? Don't fall asleep, though. Close your eyes and get pictures in your head as I read this to you. All right? Let's see. Here it is. Starting in verse 1. "Come up hither, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once," John says, "I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing." In other words, seven candlestands, seven oil-filled lamps. "These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second, like an ox. The third, had the face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.' All right, you can open your eyes. Wasn't that incredible? Now, what I have for you today, I'm really excited about this. This usually doesn't happen. But on the way here, the Lord quickened for me to put together a slideshow for you. Now, it's not because I didn't have plenty of time to prepare. So Chris drove, my wife drove, and I sat there and put together a slideshow. And I've got these awesome pictures of what heaven, at least what some artists, think this scene looks like. So you're going to see that in a little bit. And then we'll see God's glory in nature. And then we'll see God's glory in the most important place. Very happy about that. Now, what is glory? What is glory? Anybody have a math teacher ever use the word glory? I didn't think so. Do you have a science teacher ever use the word glory? No. Do you hear glory mostly in church? Yeah. Has anybody heard the word glory anywhere else? You have. Okay, good. Do you know where? In the news. Okay, good. Now, I understand, and I don't follow this at all, but there's a couple of teams that play football, you know, here in Michigan, and one of them won. And I'm sure that that victory was glorious for all those people. And for the people who didn't win, you know, it was just probably a very sad day. So glory has a very positive kind of connotation to it. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is kabod, and it means that which is weighty and valuable. So this morning, if you could think of the one thing that is the weightiest and most valuable thing to you, you know, what would that be? What is the most important thing? Most, top, the ultimate, the superlative thing of significance, value, and importance in your life. That, we could say, is what you glory in. That is what you glory about. That is what gives you a sense of radiance. That's another word for glory. The radiance, okay? The radiance, that light that emanates, okay? So these are all ideas. We see this throughout Scripture. That in the temple of Solomon, the glory of God came in that temple so that the priests could not even stand up. Because his presence, his value, the weightiness of his presence was there. We find that Isaiah, like in the book of Revelation, when he was standing before God, he fell down because the presence of God was so awesome. Have you ever thought about standing in God's presence one day? You know? Like on Judgment Day, maybe? Hopefully before then, we'll feel His presence right here. You know, can you imagine that? Standing before Almighty God and His glory. You know, I don't know. How does that make you feel? Think about that. I mean, it's one thing to have to go to a doctor and have him take an x-ray, you know, and see everything about you, you know, and your insides. But to stand before God, who sees right through us and knows us, you know, these elders fall down. And they had crowns, which is the good news, because God makes a way for us to earn this crown. Not like we care about walking around with a crown, okay? But it's just like a symbol of, like, you have rulership over some of your enemies. And look at this. You've been looking at Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. And in every one of those churches, the Lord speaks and He says, you have this really cool thing going on. And because of this, you cannot tolerate the Nicolaitans. Good job. You know, are so good because of this. You have a kind heart. But then in every one of those churches, He says, however, we have this little issue going on because you, blah, 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 have this problem, okay? But He says to him, to every one of them, to him who overcomes. And this is what I want us to look at today. There is a glory. There is a brand of God's character, His love, His mercy, even as we change the words in the song today, talking of His glory, of His nature and His character, that you and I can have in place of this other thing, this other kind of glory. So the whole idea here is that there are really different brands of glory. In the New Testament, we have, you know, many examples of God's glory. For example, happening. I mean happening. Why study this from an academic perspective? I could have given you a handout today, and you could have filled in the blanks. What is the definition of glory? And you'd have it all written down. And because you're Asian, if I told you I was going to give you a test, you'd all get 100%, right? Because you study so hard. We've got, I think, about 5 Asian students at Oakland Christian this year. They're like from Korea and China. And I think Taiwan, yeah. And they are the best students. It's incredible. You know, so it's just kind of a cool thing. So we could go academic. But we really don't want to do that. You know. We'd much rather experience God's glory. Wouldn't you like to experience it? It is so cool and it's so available. Saul of Tarsus was an excellent student. But it was all head knowledge, and he was behaving in a way he was killing the Christians. So God showed him his glory, knocked him down, you know, and blinded his eyes with these like scales that came on him. He experienced God's glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were there, you know, James, John, and Peter. And the Lord was transfigured. He began to glow. Something of heaven came down and touched him. Moses, when he was on the mountain speaking with God, when he came down, his face was changed. And there was this glow. Adam and Eve in the garden had this godly glow going on, you know. And I don't think it has to do so much with like having a cute nose or sweet looking eyes, you know, or high cheekbones or any of that kind of thing, or you've got straight teeth, you know. I think it has to do with just this emanating of God radiating, you know, out from us so that we have that glory because we've been with the Lord. The disciples were unlearned men, but everywhere they went, people said, these guys don't have the education, but they have been with Jesus. They were carrying God's glory. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. We want to experience His glory. Experience His glory. You know, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is what we have to have. We cannot be raising up a generation of people who are cultural Christians, who go to church and understand this is bad and this is good. No, we want people who experience God, like John did, who wrote this. How cool is that? John said, that which we have heard and that which we have seen, starting to experience. Now, you've all heard, you have seen some things, okay? And he says, furthermore, that which we have looked into. I'm not going to come to church and just hear. I'm going to look into it. And then John says, John 1:9, first verse, that which we have handled of God's word, that's what we own. That's the glory that we carry and we transmit to other people. Very, very awesome that God would put that verse in there for us. In the book of Acts, you know, men took on the supernatural power of God to be godly and to have that glory. And then, of course, to demonstrate God's glory. Jesus himself became flesh and blood. Listen to what it says. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one, the only, whom came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is fantastic. Now, just to get this whole idea of glory right where we live, okay? Can I see your hat? Look at this hat. Is that a cool hat? Is that really cool? Yeah? Oh, you said no? Sassy. Sassy over there. No. Would you wear this hat? She's not going to. Would you wear this hat? I love that answer. Teenagers crack me up. That answer. Sure. It's like this nebulous floating thing. It's like, whatever. You know, sure. I love it. Okay, how many of you think this hat is cool? Uh-huh. All right, how many of you are bold enough? Come on. Stand up. Show us what you really got. How many of you think this hat is not cool? All right. What does this have to do with Revelation 4? Well, let me tell you. There is cool, and then there is cool. Okay? And then there's also cool. Not to mention cool. Okay? There are all kinds of cool. Now, would you help me this morning? Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, okay. Okay, come here. Okay, would you put this hand on? Yeah. You would? Okay, thank you. Go ahead, put that hand. No. Do you have lice or anything? Bugs or anything? You don't think so? Okay, good. Wait a minute. I think I see one. No. Okay. All right. All right. Now she is a, what is that, Michigan? That's not like Michigan. That's Michigan. It says Michigan, okay? So now she is Michigan, okay? Now, when I was in China, I saw people everywhere, with umbrellas, okay? They were just everywhere with umbrellas. And this is a really cool umbrella, okay? Isn't that cool? Now, they use these umbrellas. If you're cool and you're in Tiananmen Square, you have an umbrella. So this is cool. That's cool. Would you hold my umbrella? Okay, would you turn around and show everybody how cool you are? All right. There we go. All right. Now, also, you know, we were last night, we were at Partridge Creek Mall. You ever been there? All right, anyhow, the place was invaded with teenagers who were like all gussied up. And they were, you know, they were, it was homecoming somewhere. And like, I never saw so much foo-foo and fluff and hair. The hair, you should have seen the hair. This one girl, I'm telling you, she had hair. She had big hair. And my wife and I are trying to figure, is that really hair? You know, because I mean, there was so much hair. And she had these like curls, these like, vroom, you know, they were like everywhere. And she thought she was cool, all right? And they had stuff like this, like all over their dresses, and they thought they were cool. So I'm going to make you so cool, girl. Move the umbrella, okay? There we go, okay. Now, check her out. She's going to be like, awesome. Oh, baby, check it out. Yeah, we got cool going on here. Oh, okay, now put the umbrella up. Yeah, is she beautiful? Yeah, give her a hand. Thank you. She's so cool. All right, now, you know, when you're cool, you walk cool, right? You can move it around like you're... Could you walk across here like you're really cool? She can't do it. Okay, sit down. Thank you. You're a great sport. Now, the reason I did that is because I love embarrassing people. No, it's because... Here's your hat back. That is a cool hat. You're welcome. Yeah. The reason I did that is because there's all kinds of cool... You know? And really, glory, if we could take the word glory and just say, cool. To God be the cool. All right? See what I'm saying? Glory is fashion. It is fashion. That's why the scripture says, don't fashion yourself after this world. Wrong kind of glory. He says, but be transformed. Get a new fashion. Get a new style. Okay? A style that is heavenly. A style that is featured in Revelation chapter 4. Where we have this whole idea of what glory really is. Alright? So we want to take a look now. Glory in heaven. Glory on earth. In creation. And then the last kind of glory. All right? So let's take a look at this slideshow. Can you turn that on? Let me move this. Woohoo! We have technology. It looks like it's going to work. Now, these are renderings and ideas. Okay, let me move out of your way. There we've got the throne. It's Christ crucified, somebody reaching toward him. 24 thrones, crowns coming down. All of the apocalyptic imagery of heaven. And there's glory in creation. These images are really fun. All right, so God's glory, all right? That is the thing that we want in our lives. That is the brand of cool. It has nothing to do with what this world has to offer. And for us to journey through this today, we want to begin to look at our natural inclinations. We've got to start with each one of us. Where is your glory? All right? We are by nature glory hunters. We just are, you know? I mean, we're looking for some sense of value, kabod, according to the Old Testament, some sense of weighty value to who we are because of what we ascribe to, what we're drawn toward, all right? In Romans chapter 9, verse 23, it says, what if he did this to make his riches of glory known to the objects of his mercy? God shows us his glory in daily life. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. He says, we reflect God's glory. Being changed or transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing measure of his glory. Our Christianity is not just get saved. It is get transformed. It is get the glory. The hope of glory for each of us is Christ in us. And he continues to mature within each one of our lives. So we are these glory hunters. The Bible says in Job chapter 19, it says, the glory of young men is their strength. In other words, the cool thing about being young is your strength. You like being strong. You were a little squirt, you grew up, and you got strong. How cool is that? Okay? We find that man's brand of glory comes in a variety of ways. One is materialism. Another is worldly possessions. Okay? Or positions, rather. Another one is self-adoration and pride. So let's take a look at these, because every one of us have bought into a glory system, one way or another. All right? So by the Lord's presence and by his word, he can show us what it is that we're buying into. Okay? It says concerning materialism in Psalm 106, verse 20, they exchange their glory for an image of a bull, which eats grass, all right? And so, you know, we can do that in other ways. I don't know that any of us are, you know, like harboring a bull in the backyard, you know, and feeding it like our treasured little pet. But it might be, like where I live, it's horses. People are, like, insane about their horses. They build barns and they take their horses on trips and all over the place. Worldly positions, high-paying jobs, and the praise of men. There were a lot of people, leaders, who believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't commit to Jesus because they enjoyed the praise of men more. And Jesus himself said, I don't accept the praise of men. How many of you like it when other people praise you? You know, I mean, it's just true, isn't it? Oh, you're so wonderful. Your hair looks so nice. You know? And you feel so good about that. When you did nothing to have the beautiful hair that you have, or the beautiful hair that you are losing. Self-adoration. Here's another problem. John chapter 7, verse 18. He who speaks on his own, get this, listen carefully. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Another translation says, people who talk a lot about themselves are just glory hunters trying to get the praise and approval of other people. King Saul's a great example. You know, he was tall, he was good looking, he had a lot of hair. So he figured, hey, I'm good looking, I'd make a great king. As long as I keep making the people happy, they'll keep making me happy because they'll support me if I support them. But God wasn't number one and God removed him. All right? So boasting, the idea of boasting is the same idea of glory. Whatever you talk about, whatever you boast about, that's your brand of glory. The scripture says in Jeremiah 9, it says, let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am God, and that I exercise kindness and justice and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The Apostle Paul, get this, you know, some people glory about their strength, but the Apostle Paul was such a man of God that he valued his weaknesses. So much so that he said, if I'm going to get all excited, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about how weak I am. So this morning, I mean, can we boast, can we brag about how weak we are and how needy we are? Because that is the very place that God will come and put his strength and his glory and transform us in those areas. Moses is a beautiful example in the Old Testament of a man who valued God, whose glory was in the Lord. He treasured God. And I believe that anyone here who is fully willing can make a declaration by the way you live and the choices you make today to be a Moses, to deliver other people in your high schools, because you are walking around like Moses. And there's something I'd never seen before in the Word of God. When Moses went up to the mountain the second time, God said to Moses, I've got an assignment for you. I want you to hew out of stone two tablets. The law that you had broken, I now want you to have in your hands and carve those out. So Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. I don't know how you can sit here this morning and hear truth without proving that it's true. You could be anywhere else, but you're here. And to hear about God's glory and see Moses and know that he saw God's glory should so inspire us to likewise want to see and be in God's glory. Now, you don't have to climb a mountain like him, but I'll tell you what you do have to do. You have to have in your hands, and you have to handle the law of God. God showed him his glory as long as he was holding on to that law. And I'll tell you, when I'm at school, just like you're at school, there are things I can do, there are things I shouldn't do. And when I'm obedient from my heart to do what I know I should do, I see God's glory. I sense his approval only because his grace empowers me to be obedient with his law. So Moses carried this law up there, and then God showed him his glory. He caused his goodness to pass before him. And you know, that goodness, that word goodness, has the idea of it is just like good all the way through. Oh, here's a backpack. Oh my goodness. Okay. This thing is heavy. This is somebody's backpack. I have no idea what's in here. I'm guessing books. Would you guess books? Okay. Now, I'm going to compare this to a chocolate bunny. Did you ever get a chocolate bunny at Easter? Aren't they great? I know. I love those, too. Which ones do you like? The hollow ones or the ones that are solid? She's got it. She nailed it. She likes the ones that are, let's say it together, solid. Oh, yeah. You almost start to salivate. Say it again. Solid. Yeah. Now, this is a shell of a backpack. All right? And in this thing are books. Can I open this? Oh. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. It's not just books. She's got shoes. I don't think I should go any farther. All right? So the backpack is full of a bunch of stuff. All right? But the Easter Bunny is solid. Now, you can be like this backpack and have all kinds of things in here. I'll bet there's the glory of her shoes in here. There's the glory of a math book in here. There's the glory... No? No math? She doesn't do math? What else do you have in here? A math book. That's right. Okay. School folders. She's got all kinds of stuff going on in here. But the chocolate bunny is what? Solid. Okay. Now, Moses was a man who was not like this backpack. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Whoops. Moses was a man who had walked in the ways of Egypt, and he got rid of that. He stayed out of Egypt. He's not doing Egypt anymore. Moses walked as a shepherd. He got rid of that too. Throw that one away. He's not going to do that anymore. And you know what he started putting in his backpack? Solid Easter bunnies of glory. That's right. He wanted what was God, and what was of God was solid all the way through. Not just a little bit. Should I get rid of her math book? So what I'm saying is this, that our lives can be full of all kinds of stuff. You know? We could have worldly foo-foo. All right? We could have the fashion of our culture. But the fact is that God is looking for people who are solid, whose hearts are set on glory all the way through. This is the goodness of God. It goes all the way through. You don't want to be the shell of that Easter bunny. You want to have that solid glory all the way through. That is a picture of God's glory that we are after. We've seen pictures here of God's glory in creation and so on. I won't go into all of that, but I'm telling you there's some incredible facts about God's glory. And if you'll put that much glory into creation, and you are the ultimate in creation, how much glory will he put into you? See, I mean, those animals we saw were beautiful. For example, I got to give you a couple of these facts. They're ridiculous. The brain of a cockroach is located inside of its body. So if you chop the head off a cockroach, the thing will go on living for about 9 days. Not because it can't think, but because it can't eat. What a weird thing. Insects, he puts all their skeletal structure on the outside. You know, ours is on the inside. It's just, and God is such an engineer. The glory of God is in engineering. It is so cool. The monarch butterfly can detect, I'll bet you'd like this one. I bet you wish you had this power. The monarch butterfly can detect its mate 8 kilometers away. Who wants that? Oh, you're so... Yeah, okay, there he is. One honest man who wants his woman. All right, very good. Oh, yeah, see, God puts his glory in creation, but how much more in our lives? How much more in our lives? 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 22 says this, it's very sad, that the glory has departed from Israel. The ark has been captured. And in a sense, you know, the church is not, in our day, not this church, the church at large, in our day, is not a formidable force in the earth. You know, the terrorists are doing more to affect our planet than we are. Because some of the glory has departed. And I believe God wants to bring it back. I know He does. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is concerning Saul. This is a man who, because he was tall, good-looking, had a lot of hair, thought he could be a king. On top of all that good-looking stuff, the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, will come upon thee, Samuel prophesies to him, and thou shalt prophesy with this group of prophets, and thou shalt be turned into another man. So here's this guy who's got it all going on, and then besides all that, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him, and he becomes this fantastic king. The problem was, he was the chocolate bunny, not the solid bunny. He just looked good. And he didn't have a heart on the inside to go after that glory of God. So God took that spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. All right? Job said, God's taken my glory away. I want to ask you this morning, how much of God's glory do you have? How much of the Jesus cool? How much of the kingdom of God cool? How much of heaven's fashion are you walking around with in your spirit? Because although you're Asian, you're American, but the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. So the kind of cool, the kind of glory, the kind of fashion that we should have going on is heaven's fashion, which takes over this world's fashion. Now, maybe you're, you know, a little shy about this. All right? Moses was. God said, Moses, I want to use you. I want to use you. Okay, I want to use you. And Moses said, and all of you. And Moses said, oh God, excuse me, I can't talk. I've had this stuttering issue since I was a little bit of a baby, you know. And God says, hang on. Who made your mouth? You did? Who made the deaf? Who made the dumb? Who made the blind? You did? God said, I can deal with you. Jeremiah was the same way. Maybe you're in that situation. Jeremiah said, I'm just young. I'm just a child. I can't speak. I'm just a child. God says, don't say that to me. I'll send you to a people that don't even want to hear what you have to say. And you'll do it because my glory, my grace is for you. And so that's where we are today, you see. God will take our weaknesses and He'll give us His glory. The woman with the alabaster box. Maybe you're sitting there saying, you don't know my sin. You don't know. You don't understand the battles I have in my head. You don't know my besetting sins, things that I've gotten caught up in that I can't stop myself from doing anymore. The woman with the alabaster box did not disqualify herself when everybody else in society did. Maybe, I don't know, you get picked on at school. But she came with her most valuable thing. I asked you what your most valuable thing is. She brought it. She came right to the Lord with that most valuable thing, and she poured it out to Him so that He was blessed by her worship. She came with her sin. She came with all of the world's disqualifications. She was rejected and despised, just like Jesus. He could identify. And she poured out her value on Him, and He poured out His glory on her. We got an email this morning. Chris was telling me about it. This dog was born with no front legs. It only had back legs. It was handicapped. Every one of us here are handicapped. We just are, you know. In one way or another. Some of you are brilliant in one area and not too bright in another area. You know what I'm saying? Well, this dog just didn't have front legs. So the guy was going to, put the dog away. And a lady heard about it, a Christian lady, and she said, no, I have to have this dog. So she got the dog, and she lured the dog with peanut butter, and she got the dog moving. And, you know, if the dog loved peanut butter, it would move toward peanut butter, you know. And so she got the dog to stand up. So the dog is finally trained to walk around on just his back legs. So the dog walks around like a little person. It is the coolest dog. Because why? Why? Because the dog loves peanut butter. Now, I want to ask you, who's your peanut butter? What is your peanut butter? What will get you up and moving around for God? You know, the glory of peanut butter. Hallelujah. The dog walks, you know. Is God better than peanut butter?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Can God be your peanut butter? Can he be the one who moves upon you and causes you to rise above that, those things that have held you back? Okay? I believe God wants to do that in every one of our lives. In every one of our lives. Do you have his presence? Do you have his glory? If you've got it now, all you need to do is express that Jesus cool thing that he has given to you. Recognize what that is. You know, as we look at this book of Revelation, those first three chapters are what qualified John to see the glory of God. John had to be, like those three chapters talk about, an overcomer. And God, in order to see the glory, in order to experience the glory. The scripture, this is so cool, the scripture in Proverbs 25, verse 2 says this, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. There are things hidden from us right now. You don't know exactly what's going to be going on in the future. But I'll bet you'd like to know. It's God's glory to conceal a thing, but it is to search out a matter is the glory of kings. This morning I was laying in bed, and I know God wants to show me stuff, okay? And for at least a month or two, something has been lost. My wife and I could not find it. Now, God hides things on purpose. Did you know that? Did you ever play hide and seek when you were a little kid? Just a real little kid? Peekaboo. You know, it's so exciting. And, yeah, you're hiding in a room, and you think your parents don't know where you are, and they really know exactly where you are, and they go, well, he's not here. Do you see him over there, Larry? No, I can't find him anywhere. You know, they know where you are the whole time. All right? Well, God hides stuff. So I had a light, a photo lamp, an expensive photo lamp, been gone forever. And I had this sense this morning as I was laying in bed praying, Lord, you hide things, and then you want us to seek your glory to find them. Because it's the glory of kings to search something out and to reveal. God, you can reveal. This is the book of Revelation. You can reveal exactly where that light is. And you know what? The Lord gave me a picture in my head of exactly where it is. It was in my gallery, in the studio part upstairs, in a gray toolbox. And he showed me, I don't remember putting it there, but he showed me where it is. So I walked over there in the morning. I had my robe on. I'm walking out in the country with the robe, hoping no wild animal's going to get my little legs, you know. Walked over there, went upstairs, and I saw the box. I walked over to it, and I opened it, and there was nothing but a tray of tools on top. And I lifted the tools out, and there it was. Isn't God good? Yeah, he will show us things to come. This chapter started out with God saying to John, I will show you things to come, because John was a man that wanted God's glory all the way through. So let's pray together this morning. It is not his will that any of us, you know, fall short of his glory. All have sinned and fallen short, but it's his will that we get that glory back. It belongs to every one of us. Father God, we thank you for who you are and for how you're working in our lives today. Lord, we've all bought into some brand of glory. I pray for your spirit of repentance today, that if we have thought something is cooler than you are, something is more awesome than you are, something is more fashion worthy of our attention and investment than you are, that you will bring that thing down and that you will take that place in our lives. For when your glory is revealed, Isaiah falls, 24 elders fall, any goodness that we've accomplished represented by a golden crown falls as we embrace who you are. We so thank you. We so praise you this morning, for your word is a sure word to every one of our hearts that we have fallen short, and that by your wonderful grace you can transform our thinking so we value you above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.